Hi, this is Tom Brevoort, and you are listening to the Captain America Comic Fans Podcast.
Greetings, Cap fans, and welcome to episode 97 of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Verbanis, and I am joined by the best gosh darn co-host out there. That would be Mr. Bob Lucius. Bob. little pig, let me in.
I got nothing, Rick. I honestly got nothing.
Apparently, you're not a fan of The Walking Dead.
I have never watched or read The Walking Dead.
Oh, well, let me tell you, my friend, that was a character by the name of Negan. Is one of the most vile villains to ever come across comics. He's a mean man. He's redeemed himself, but he, in the beginning, a very, very mean man who carries around a baseball bat wrapped with barbed wire he calls Lucille.
Oh, okay.
And that was him knocking on the gate of Rick Grimes and his crew, saying, "Let me in," in a very ominous tone. So why am I talking about The Walking Dead?
I have no idea.
Right?
This is not the direction I expected you to go.
No?
No.
Oh. Well, I'm talking about The Walking Dead because that was created by Robert Kirkman.
Right. Okay. Right? Yeah.
So Robert Kirkman is the writer of the Captain America story we are covering today.
Got it.
Yes. And we are covering Captain America Volume 4, issues 29 through 32. It's a four-issue story. It's the last four issues of Volume 4. Came out in 2004, Bob. And that's what we're covering today. So I wanted to bring it back to Robert Kirkman.
All right. Okay. It all comes together. Again, you pull it off. I thought you were going off the – I thought something happened to you. I thought maybe you hit your head or something. But it all came together.
What direction did you think I was going to go?
I thought for sure you were going to sing Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of the video.
Right. I thought that's the direction you were going to go.
You know what? It's not too late. You want to give it a shot?
Funny you should mention it. I am a Yankee Doodle Dandy, a Yankee Doodle do or die, a real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July.
Wow.
Yeah, that's all you're getting from me.
Bravo. Nicely done. I'm sure the neighbors are really appreciating that.
Yep. My wife's wondering what the heck's going on, and the cats are covering their ears.
Yes.
Yeah, and probably the listeners are like, what the hell is wrong with these two?
I'm sure the listeners appreciate it. They all probably just got up and started saluting. Yeah. So, we do have the four issues we want to get through today. We're going to do it in the new format. We're not going to go panel by panel, so this isn't going to take 3 hours. We will get through it as quickly as possible with our well-renowned comments and... Snark.
Extra snark. A little extra snark on the side, if you would, please.
Yes, yes. So Bob, before we get into it, I wanted to read a review that somebody left us on the Apple Podcasts. And we always appreciate that because you give us 5 stars, you leave a review, and it helps get us seen on the Apple, on iTunes. We really appreciate that. This one comes from Kelzar. I don't know. It's C-A-I-L-X-A-R. Is that Kelzar?
I don't know.
I apologize if I'm mispronouncing a formal name here, but this person wrote for every Cap fan, exclamation point. And they wrote, if you like any incarnation of Captain America, this podcast is for you. Each episode dives into the origins of the characters, good guys, bad guys, villains, and then in parentheses, listen to the top 10 list to understand the difference. This has quickly become my favorite podcast. Well, thank you, Kalixar. We appreciate that 5-star review. Very kind of you. And again, if the listeners haven't given us a review on Apple, please do so. We really do appreciate that.
Indeed, indeed.
Hey, Bob, before we get into this story, I want to just put a little plug in for next episode. So everybody stick around, because at the end, I'm going to talk about next episode. But Bob, I got a surprise for you for next episode. I'll tell you too what that surprise is.
Oh, I'm on pins and needles, Rick.
Yeah. So stick around for that.
All right. All right. You got me. You hooked me.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
So, Bob, I'm going to kind of paint the scene here for this story. Mm-hmm. So we'll start with the fact that this is volume four, right? So volume four came out in early 2002, and it had a Marvel Knights imprint. Now, what that meant back then was that it was just like a more mature story. Usually rated like PG-13 or something like that. So it had the Marvel Knights banner on it. And why was it considered mature? Well, because, you know, the content and the topics and the story were hard hitting. And this was post 9/11, right? Mm-hmm. So if all the characters in the Marvel Universe who was going to have a response to 9/11, Captain America's right there in the front, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So they launched this series with this particular story that basically confronts terrorists. And the writer is John Nayriber and the artist John Cassidy. And I got to tell you, John Cassidy did some of his best work here. It's amazing detail, very realistic looking. Mm-hmm. And then that was like a 6-part story. And then, you know, we don't really do much from volume four because there's these large blocks, right? Because then it was followed by another John Nayriber story called The Extremist. And that was 5 issues. And the artist mm-hmm. was Trevor Hairsane. Then he kicks off another 5-issue story called Ice with writer Chuck Austin, who eventually took over. And that had some really cool work, artwork by Jay Lee. Then there was a 4-issue block called Cap Lives. Now, we did cover that.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and that was written by Dave Gibbons and amazing art by Lee Weeks. Fun story about Cap waking up in a world where the Nazis won. And if you like an apocalyptic type story, it's a cool story. We covered it in episode 61, so definitely check that out. Then there was a 5-issue story called Homeland, and we had Robert Morales come on as the writer. And Chris Pacello was the artist, doing some really cool artwork. Then Morales stayed on and did something called the Bucky issue. It was like one shot. And then it was a Requiem, which was a 2-part story starring Isaiah Bradley.
From an alternate universe.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Which was introduced in that story, The Truth, Red, White, and Black. So all of these were heavy hitting stories, dark stories, if you will, all under the Marvel Knights banner. And then there comes today's story.
Mm-hmm.
No longer Marvel Knights banner. They lifted that because this is not a dark story. It's a fun story. And so that's the reason we chose to go over it. It's 4 issues, but it's a quick 4 issues. It's a little bit of a bubblegum story. There's not going to be a ton of dialogue like, let's say, a Mark Gruenwald story would be, or even a Mark Waid. Mm-hmm. But it's a fun story that has a lot of guest stars.
You know, and I love, it's got some great covers, Rick, you know, and I particularly the one we're going to start with tonight, you know, with Dave Johnson. This one hits home for me because I cannot believe this didn't make it into the final brackets
when we did the covers.
Because this, I love this one.
I have a print of this one signed by Dave Johnson.
Do you really?
I do. Fabulous. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He did. Dave Johnson did all 4 covers for this. He did a couple previous too. For the Rob Morales stories, mm-hmm. but he's a great cover artist, and he's on the convention circuit too. If you want to, you know, probably see him at shows near you. So let's get to the creative team. We talked about Robert Kirkman, and I want to paint the scene here too, right? Because Robert Kirkman is a household name right now. I mean, people know him for creating Walking Dead, for creating Invincible, an animated show, and a bunch of other things as well. At this point in his career, though, in 2004, when he started writing this particular issue for Captain America, he had only been writing comics for about 2 years. His Walking Dead comic series was on issue 8 when this came out. His Invincible series was on issue 13 when this came out. This is actually only his 3rd Marvel comic. And certainly his biggest name Marvel comic, because the other things were just kind of fill-in stories. So it's kind of really interesting that we're getting Robert Kirkman pretty early in his career. And this is something that, you know, he's, you know, while he's doing his creator-owned stuff, he's getting in some Marvel work, which is probably paying the bucks, right? It's, you know, paying the bills for him.
Right.
Now, Scott Eaton is the penciler, and I got to say, I really enjoyed the art in this story. Mm-hmm. The layouts are great. The backgrounds are very detailed. His characterization of the different faces was pretty good. I see a lot of, there's some times in there where Steve or Cap is looking up and you see a close up on his face and it looks like Brian Hitch. Mm. And the funny thing is Brian Hitch he didn't do Captain America Reborn until years later. So I don't know if Brian Hitch got a little bit of from here. I don't know, but I definitely see a Brian Hitch influence. And now he's been doing comics for about 14 years at this point. A lot of fill-in stuff, but leading up to this 4 issues that he's doing for Cap, he did do 2 years for CrossGen doing a series called Sigil. And then he just finished doing about a year's worth of Thor. And then now he's coming on here. But he's, I really enjoyed his artwork in this.
Yeah, I did too. I wasn't, honestly, not familiar with Scott's work, but having, gone back through and read these, I was super impressed as well with the level of detail and the faces, as you said. And it's a very engaging art. That draws your eye all over the panels.
The inker is Drew Garrissi. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Colorist, Rob Schwager. Letterer, Randy Gentile. And editor, our pal, Tom Brevoort. So this first story comes out, has a cover date of September 2004. And by the way, this is 6 years before Walking Dead TV series went out and 7 years before Captain America First Avenger. So again, Kirkman's not a household name, and Cap's probably not as popular as he is today.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying. I, you know, we forget that sometimes, right? That the Cap went through those lulls where he just was not, he wasn't up there. You know, X-Men were up there, right? Spider-Man was still really popular. Punisher. Mm-hmm. And Cap kind of faded into the background for a long time. And, it's important to remember that sometimes.
Yeah, and you know what was else going on right now? And I was just about to get to that is something called Avengers Disassembled. So Avengers Disassembled was the beginning of Brian Michael Bendis's run on the Avengers. And they renumbered with it. We started renumbering it, and it started with Avengers 500. And there was this four-issue story called Avengers Disassembled. It ran 500 through 503. At the same time, there were a bunch of tie-ins. And this is one of the tie-ins. And on the cover, it says Captain America Disassembled, and it has the same Disassembled logo that's on the Avengers. Up in the corner, there's an Avengers logo that's shattered, just like on the Avengers book. So they're really trying to tie this in. I'm going to give you everybody a heads up. It is so loosely tied in. Like it is nothing really to do with the Avengers. There's, I think, the prerequisite panel or two in each issue where Cap's a little sad about what's going on with the Avengers right now, but that's it. That's it. Doesn't advance the story at all. Also, Bob, guess what else was going on at this time?
What, Rick?
Well, Captain America had a second book called Captain America and the Falcon.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the artist was Bart Sears.
Mm-hmm.
And the writer, remember his name. He did the U.S. Agent miniseries, Priest, Christopher Priest.
Yeah, Christopher Priest, right.
Yeah. And that also is a tie-in with Disassembled. So, but anyway, that's also going on at the same time. So just wanted to kind of paint the scenario, what was going on in our culture, or pop culture at that time, what was going on in comics at that time, where these characters and where these creators were in their careers.
Well done. We should, that's Captain America and the Falcon series. We got to hit that sometime.
Yeah. We certainly will put it on the docket. All right. So as we've been doing with the new format, Bob, we need to make sure that we have, keep in mind, what's our favorite panel?
Mm-hmm.
What do we think is t-shirt worthy?
Right.
And then what's going in the time capsule? And right, I think I go first this time.
Okay.
All right. So we get to the first part of the story. It's called Super Patriot Part One. And it is a big, beautiful splash of Captain America fighting a gigantic Mr. Hyde. And he's just screaming, "Die, Captain America, die." And then there's a big fight. They're coming off of a building. Cap basically hits him with the shield and grabs a flagpole, does a nice somersault, and just lets Mr. Hyde fall and land on the sidewalk. I gotta tell you, and this is not the first time you're gonna hear me say this, I'm gonna say this over and over again. Uncharacteristic of Captain America.
Is it?
Yes.
For Hyde?
Well, because look, he's not, they're going off the side. There's mm-hmm. all these big pieces of building falling down, and there's people, I mean, big enough to like crush a person, and there's all these people down the sidewalk. Cap's doing nothing to do anything about that, except he's making jokes. He's like, "How many times do we have to do this before you learn your lesson? See you at the bottom."
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Uncharacteristic,
well,
in my opinion.
I do think you're reading a lot into that, but I thought you were going to say by letting Hyde fall and not trying to cushion his impact. Of course, with Hyde, it's as we know, it doesn't really matter. But you're right. You draw attention to the large chunks of masonry falling, and that could be a problem for some of those folks down below.
Yeah. So then he starts goading him, and he says, "I'm willing to bet that you're regretting that course of action about now. What do you think was going to happen, Hyde? when the RAF sends out an all-point bulletin saying someone's escaped, we superheroes don't exactly look the other way. I mean, this is New York. You're bound to run into someone like Spider-Man or Nova, at least. Well, looks like the fall did you in. You about ready to give up? And he knocks away his shield and yells, no. He's like, okay, then, let's see what you got. I mean, I don't know. That just seems a little cocky for me, for Steve.
All right.
And then next page, Mr. Hyde just falls over on his face. And then there's these bystanders there. And there's some teenager kids, right? You know, they got their backpack and, you know, one of them grabs a shield and he says, I'll take that. Thanks for keeping it company. And one of the kids with the backpack says to his friend, pick a draw up off the ground, loser. And I only point that out because later when Cap, you know, jumps up onto a fire escape and he swings up and he goes on top of the building and he starts somersaulting away. You know, both kids say, wow. And then the kid who was called a loser looks at his friend and he smirks at him. And the guy's like, what? So even he was impressed, the tough guy.
Yeah.
So then we get to the video store and we see Steve in his civilian outfit. And he's putting his jacket over his shield that he's wearing on his back. And he's going in and there's a young lady behind a counter. He's like, oh, the usual again. You know, you could buy your own copy. You practically paid for the thing 10 times over. And look at that face. Doesn't that look like Brian Hitch?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah.
And he smiles at her and says, it stopped seeing you on a regular basis. Not a chance. She's like, fresh. But I do like seeing that side of Steve.
I do too.
You know,
and I love that panel. You kind of glossed over it, but he's walking down the alley. He's putting the jacket on over the shield on his back. And up above you see Spider-Man swinging across the top of the buildings. And I think that's great. You know, he didn't like even he's not even you know, looking up to see Spider-Man. It's just a little gratuitous cameo thrown in there.
Yep. Next page. He's walking back to his brownstone and he sees Diamondback there. Now, Bob, I didn't look this up. I should have. I was looking up all the other details, but I don't recall the last time we saw Diamondback.
Gosh, it would have. It's a good question. I don't know. Did we see her in volume 3?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't think so either. So, I mean, it would have had to been back, back in volume 1.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
It has been. And so Scott Eaton's drawing her very voluptuous.
Yeah.
Right? Well,
yes, indeed.
She's got her pink outfit on with her high-heeled boots, but she's got a leather coat over top of her and she's leaning forward with her elbow on her knee and her hand rested in her palm, and she has this coy look about her as she's sitting on his steps, and it's late at night. She said, I figured you're about due for a visit, Steve. How've you been? I'm fine. You want to come up? I got Yankee Doodle Dandy on DVD. It's digitally remastered. Jeez, you're still renting that thing? After sitting on these steps for almost an hour, sure, I'm up for anything. It brings you to my neighborhood, Diamond. It's been too long. I figured if you weren't going to look me up, I may as well take the initiative and do it myself. We were good together, Steve. You never hear me dispute that. There's a little beep beep, and he picks out, it's like his Avengers ID card, but there's like a little video on the card, and it's your guy.
Yeah, buddy.
Nicholas Fury.
Nick.
Yep. And it comes to the window. And then we get to a really nice big page, splash page of Nick Fury in a, like a jumpsuit, you know, like a jetpack, right? And listen, describe what he's wearing. I mean, it's Scott put a lot of detail into this.
He did. There's a lot going on there, Rick. He's obviously got the the shield uniform, you know, the black shield uniform, the traditional one with the sort of the white, you know, boots and the white straps and the white belt. And
is it black or is it blue? It's navy blue, right?
Well, you're right. It's a midnight. It's, I think they call it a midnight blue. So it's right there, you know, sort of black blue, depending on the light. But it's definitely the classic color, right? And he, of course, he's got a pistol in his shoulder holster. He's got a hand grenade strapped to him. And then, of course, you know, he's got the anti-grav jetpack that allows him to float in midair outside the fire escape, outside of Steve's apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's look at the side of the building. Look at the detail. Like, this is a, you know what? I mean, if this page came available, you know, for art, you know, to buy, I would imagine you would love this page because it's a huge picture of Nick Fury, but all that detail on the building and the.
Right. That's the detail. You could see through the window into Steve's apartment and see the detail of the furniture and the bookshelf and the lamp and the, you know, the clock radio on his neck. I mean, it's an amazing amount of detail and the depth of it.
Yeah, and all the bricks and the angle, man, it's just a really nice splash page. So Nick Fury says, "Can Captain America come out and play? I'll get changed." And he looks at Diamondback. "You guys are not him again? We'll see. The jury's still out on that. Not if he's going to force me to watch his crummy movies over and over again. Hey, now that's a classic, and you know it. What do we got, Nick?" "I'll fill you in once we're aboard the subcarrier." "Care to join us?" "Sure. If I remember correctly, you know how to show a girl a good time." "I'll try not to let you down." So Cap puts on a jetpack, and the two of them, and he holds Diamondback, and they go up into the helicarrier. Yeah, and there's another cameo here, Bob. There's a Moon Knight who has got his little moon copter, moon thing, and he's jumping down from it. So not shy of cameos. Big, gorgeous picture of the helicarrier. And then Nick gives the rundown. He basically tells Cap and Diamondback that there's this senator, his name's Richard Winslow, who's a favorite to run for president. And Hydra basically kidnapped him. So he says, you know, it's probably a ransom situation, but we're not waiting around for demands. They've got this new base. It's in the Florida Keys. And then here's another thing that I just don't see Steve saying. I think he's out of character. And he goes, "They've got a new base out in the Florida Keys. I think it's right next to the island Marlon Brando owns. You want me to get his autograph?" No, come on. Cap wouldn't ask that. And then what about that frame? I mean, gosh, that looks just like Brian Hitch. So they go ahead and they jump out, and Steve says, "Wish us luck. There's at most going to be 300 or so Hydra foot soldiers down there. I mean, you're probably going to need those goodies we gave you. But do you really think you need any luck, especially with Diamondback tagging along?" "You've got a point." And he jumps out of the helicarrier, and it's a nice view. And so does Diamondback. And they both have on their jetpacks as they're flying through the night sky. And then in behind Nicholas Fury, there's a man in the shadows. And he says behind him, "Do you think he suspects?" Then just then, Nick Fury's face is a hologram and it changes. "The Boy Scout? Not a chance." And it's a totally different character. So that was not Nick Fury. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, Rick, I'm reconsidering getting that full page splash page. Now that I know that's not really Nick.
No, that's a good point.
By hell, if someone gave it to me, I'd probably still accept it.
I wouldn't turn down any free original art.
Right, yeah.
So the two of them are under heavy fire by the Hydra base. And there's tanks and there's gun silos and everything. It looks heavily armored. and they're getting shot at, but they're evading it and zigzagging. And then they go in, and then there's a guy behind an anti-aircraft, gun. And he's like, die, die, die. And Cap just throws the shield and knocks out a couple guys. And then it zips back into his hand. Now, I really like that.
That's a great, just that flow of motion is awesome.
Yeah. And he's not even looking. He just puts his arm out and extends it, and it perfectly slides onto his hand. Right. Like that's cool. And he goes, they never see it coming. So he flies in, and then he makes a comment that I don't think Cap would make. I don't think he would come in here and go, stand aside, fellas. We're working here.
Yeah, there's a different level of humor here that is not characteristic of Steve's approach.
Right. So they bust in through a wall. I mean, that's an amazing shot right there. That panel, him breaking through the wall and all the little pieces flying everywhere. And you see the Hydra agents like put their arms up in fear and grimacing.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That's a really cool thing. So he's making short work of him. He's like, where is he? Where is Senator Winslow? And they're just like, we don't know. This is a big place. You can't expect us to know every useless. And he just knocks him out with the shield.
There's a lot of humor in there. You know, it's not just Steve. It's the Hydra agents in their break room complaining about the pay compared over what they're getting over at AIM. You know, I love this stuff.
Yeah. And then the one guy's like, don't look at me. I'm still on break. So they turn the corner and there's, you know, dozens of more Hydra agents, you know, and they're like, there he is, get him. And he says, get him. And he just starts jumping into them, punching, throwing a shield. Where are you keeping the senator? Where is he? You'll never succeed. We are Hydra. Cut off a limb and two will take its place. He punches him out. And then this, again, another cool panel here. And he just puts his hand straight up and the shield comes straight down right onto his arm.
Right.
And yeah. Diamondback's, well, you still got it. So they're charging through there. And then finally, one of the Hydra agents is just like, you know, Winslow's behind the door. And they're chasing Cap and Diamondback. He busts through a door. And he's like, don't worry, sir. It's almost over. Diamond, untie the senator. I've got you. And he grabs the senator on his shoulder and carries him out. And he busts through, I guess, a wall, does it look like?
I don't know if that's a wall or a window or something. Yeah.
So anyway, he must have got him back to the helicarrier. Because next panel we see there, and it's daylight, and Senator Winslow's like, is Captain America, he and the woman are in their quarters, Senator, getting some shut-eye before we get back to New York. Do you think we'll figure it out? Not if you keep your mouth shut. I believe we should discuss payment methods now. I think we'll be doing some renegotiating first, Nolan. I don't think you fully came through on your part of the bargain. I don't think Hydra was in on this. I feared for my safety back there. I didn't hire S.H.I.E.L.D. to put my life in jeopardy. This wasn't supposed to be dangerous. You got what you wanted. You were rescued from a hostage situation by Captain America. You're pretty much sewn up the nomination. And with the footage of the event we'll leak, you're going to get a ton of votes. You have nothing to complain about. If you want to haggle on the price, though, I can give you something to complain about. No, okay, never mind. And so then we cut back to New York, and then there's Cap and Diamondback landing in front of Cap's place. Have a good time last night? Things are never dull with you. We should do this again sometime. And next time, let's just watch the movie. I'm all for it. Thanks, Nick. No, Captain. Thank you. And then Cap and Diamond are kind of talking. And sorry, I didn't think. I'm sure Nick could have dropped you off close to your place. I wasn't really planning on going home yet. She gives him that coy look. And then he gets another Avengers priority alert. I've got to go. I'll call you. So poor Diamondback, she's, you know, neglected, rejected. So she's walking back to her place. Again, beautiful land, cityscape here with backgrounds, very detailed. She's walking up her apartment steps. She goes in. And then who's there waiting for her, Bob?
I can't believe it, Rick. Could it be? Is it? Is it the Red Skull?
How did it go? Great. We're going to see each other again. Good. Everything is going according to plan. And it's the Red Skull in her apartment.
Rick, I love the art on the wall.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's a, you know, a picture of her.
Yeah, of course.
In uniform, a picture of Cap in uniform. Who's the guy? I know it is.
Yeah. Is that Sidewinder?
Yeah. Sidewinder. Yeah.
Mr. Maskless. Volker? Yeah. Working the Fu Manchu mustache there. Looking good.
So continue the next issue. But, you know, Red Skull, the art looks very similar to how Ron Garney drew him.
It sure does. You know, I got to be honest, I wasn't a big fan of the way he was depicted, you know, by Garney. It struck me, you know, like, oh my gosh, that's really, really similar.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. I didn't want to say that, Rick, because, you know, it's just different strokes, right?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, 100%. Artists understand that. All right, so here we are. And issue 30. So this one has a cover date of October 2004. Same creative team. All right. So on the cover here, Bob, our old pal Batroc de Lipper is back. And he is jumping onto Cap's shield as Cap's putting it up, and he's turning away grimacing. And again, the same disassembled, the same shattered Avengers logo. And it says, at the mercy of the bombastic brutality of Batroc. See, it's not mercy. It's mercy, the way it's spelled. Right?
Right, yeah. I don't get
that's
it.
So clever.
Yeah.
that's witty, huh? Uh-huh. So the opening splash page is at Yankee Stadium. And there's a Yankee baseball player and hitting a baseball. You even hear the crack of the bat. And in the background, you see the crowd cheering. You see the mascot. And then up in the stands, you see Diamondback and Steve in their civvies watching the game. But Steve, he's sulking. And he's looking down. He's got his hands in his jacket pockets, and he looks down. Steve, really, you didn't have to come. When I asked you along, I had no idea what you were going through. I'm fine, Rachel. The Avenger will bounce back. I'm sure of it. I'm glad you asked me to come to this game with you. I haven't been able to do much now that didn't involve throwing a shield over the last few weeks. You don't seem to be having fun at all. Really, if you want to go, go. I understand. You've been through a lot recently. I appreciate your concern, but really, I'm fine. And then the mascot starts to yell, attention. See, and there you go, Bob. That was your tie-in to Avengers Disassembled.
That's it. Yeah.
So the mascot basically says, I've got the whole stadium loaded with explosives. My associates are going to go through the stands collecting jewelry washes and cash. If you try anything, we're all going to get blown sky high. And he has a detonator in the hand. And then so Steve rips off his civvies, and underneath, of course, is his uniform. And he just jumps into action, and he throws the shield at the guy holding the detonator. And he jumps down, and he tells Diamondback to deal with the bagman. So he's like, this clown picked the wrong day to mess with me. But just then, we got Batroc leaping onto the back of Captain America, and he's, you know, being nailed in the back with his feet full force. I must say, Captain, you ruined my plans. Batroc. I hoped to merely sit among the spectators and allow my henchmen to do all the work. I even contemplated not attending. That would have been an unforgivable mistake. I had no idea you were a baseball fan. No matter. I've rendered you insensate with a blow that will keep you quite immobile for some hours. Cap just stands up and gives him a right cross, hits him back. Or so I thought. My captain. You are full of surprises. I'll try to keep up. And then he kicks Captain in the face, knocks him back. But he grabs his boot and he flings him. Batroc, I'm in no mood for this. And he slams him hard into the dugout in his head first. You're not playing around. I have never known you to be this brutal. Had enough? Not in the least. I didn't mean to imply otherwise. You see, I actually have the upper hand. Move one inch and we all die. And he grabbed the detonator, Bob. Really? Go ahead. Press that little red button. I'd like to see what happens. And so he presses it. And what happens, Bob?
Nothing.
It's a pen. It clicks open the pen. The pen pops out. Would you like an autograph? And Cap just backhands him with the shield. Okay, so there are no explosives. No harm, no foul, eh, mon capitan? Be seeing you. And as he's running away, Cap just throws the shield in the back of his spine and knocks him down. Idiot. And it just flings back again perfectly onto his hand, like slides onto his hand. Love that.
It's got a whole like Mjolnir sort of vibe going on there with the hammer, right?
Just, oh yeah.
It always comes back into Thor's hand.
Yeah. So then we cut to the helicarrier and we have the fake Nick Fury. What's his name? Wilson?
Isn't it Nolan?
Nolan. Yeah, Nolan. And he's there with his team talking to the Red Skull. And Red Skull is wearing a new armor. And he basically says, hey, it's time to get paid. Because he's trying to overtake S.H.I.E.L.D. and he needs the money. And the Red Skull says, I appreciate your assistance, Nolan. But I must regretfully inform you that I do not plan to compensate you in any way. Is that so? And then all the phony S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, you know, cocked their weapons. As you can see, your options are about as limited as they get. You pay us or you die. Oh, and before you start thinking that advanced armor is going to get you out of this, Sputnik. I believe that was supposed to immobilize me, wasn't it? Did you think I wouldn't look for a failsafe? I have some level of technical expertise at my disposal. In the future, try not to make it so abundantly obvious how new you are at this. Shoot 'em, you idiots. And they start firing at him, but he has some sort of force field. You try my patience. And he busts them all up. And then he basically says to Nolan, I'll tell you this only once. Our business relationship has come to an end. You have helped me in my mission, and I thank you. But that is all you will be getting from me in return. If you have a problem with that, I will kill everyone in this room right now. Say the word, and I will start with you. I take your silence to mean that you are no way unhappy with this agreement. Now, have the curious one beside us open the hangar doors. Pray we never cross paths again. And then he flies out. So then we cut to the outside of the Yankee Stadium. There, all of the police are there, the paramedics and fire trucks and the crowds there. And they're going through everything. And we see Batroc being carted away. And Diamondback asks, she says, how did you know it was an ink pen? When I held it, it was pretty light for a detonator, not nearly heavy enough to have the equipment necessary to send a signal. But I thought it could have been new technology. Mostly, it was the hole in the bottom. Still, that was pretty bold. I didn't get through World War II without taking a few chances. Or without getting frozen solid in a block of ice. Point Jake. So then a whole bunch of people swarm him to get autographs. So that takes a while. Because, you know, Cap's not going to ignore any. You know, he wants to make sure everybody gets signed, probably. So it's dark. They're leaving. She's got her arm hooked in his as they're walking. And she says, well, here we are. This was fun, Rachel. Aside from the whole Batroc thing, I appreciate you trying to cheer me up. Do you still have that movie you rented? No, I took it back earlier today. You got anything else worth watching? Rachel Layton, are you asking to come upstairs with me? Well, Steve, today was a lot like old times. I don't see any reason why tonight can't be. Besides, you could still use some more cheering up. So they go upstairs. Next morning, and we see Steve with his shirt off, having some coffee, sitting in the windowsill, smiling, looking at a Rachel who is laying in the covers. Now, Bob, what are we supposed to assume here?
I think probably they just went back and, you know, had a couple cups of coffee and, you know, called it a night.
Oh, okay. So she stayed over as a guest in one of his bedrooms?
Guest room.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. So he says, Rachel, morning. Slept a little late, huh? And then she gets up and wraps the sheet around her and says, it's late. I've got some errands to run. And then she just leaves. I'll see you tonight. Yankee Doodle Dandy. Wouldn't miss it for the world. So Steve goes back to pick up the DVD again. And the girl behind the counter says, you're not your usual chipper self. This got something to do with that Avengers business that's on the news? Yeah, we lost some good people. I'm sorry to hear that, Steve. The rental's on the house. Least we can do. Guess that's the manager. So then he's sitting in his apartment alone. But we see Rachel in her apartment, and she's talking to Red Skull. Yankee Doodle Dandy. I'm telling you, the guy's obsessed. Splendid. And then he basically says, take this bottle of wine, take these two wine glasses, and I want you to add a little poison. He'll die before he swallows his first drink. This ends tonight. In a matter of hours, Captain America will be dead. And then Nolan is back on the base, and he gets a call from the real Nick Fury, who says he wants a report on everything that went down at the Hydra Island. So, he's starting to, he's like, there's no way he could know about that. Do you think he suspects? No. So we'll come back to that another time. So then there's a knock at the door and of Steve's apartment, and it's Rachel. She's wearing a nice little dress. She has the bottle. And she says, well, I brought you something. Well, it's more for us than you. And he's like, yeah, you didn't have to do that. So he goes to the kitchen to get some glasses and the corkscrew. And he brings those. And he's like, you know, I could have cooked, but I know you like it better than that. So she's like, I'm not here for the food, Steve. She gives him the look. So he opens the bottle. He pours it. He says, maybe I should have gotten bigger glasses. Just keep the bottle nearby. And he goes, I'll get the movie set up. So she pulls out from her purse the poison, puts it into his glass. What is she doing, Bob? This is Diamondback. This is Rachel.
I can't believe it. Yeah.
They're an item. Why is she working with the Red Skull? Why is she putting poison in the glass?
Yeah. I thought she had redeemed herself, you know, and been, what's that word I'm looking for? She's not a garage. We didn't renovate her, but certainly. Starts with an R. I know that's on the tip of my tongue.
You said redeem. Isn't that?
Yeah. I think there's another word I'm looking like rehabilitated.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And so they go ahead and do a toast. And she says, to a fantastic evening, to many fantastic evenings. And he puts it to his lips and he's about, and she's staring at him, watching him drink it. And then just then, Bob, the Serpent Society crashes through his window, his wall. And it's a, you know, big crash, big scene. And it's Bushmaster, it's Puff Adder, and it's Ass. You break into my home? What's the meaning of this? Never mind. I'll ask questions later. And then the two of them start fighting. And the Asp fires her ray at the two of them. And you know what that, remember what that does, the Asp ray?
I don't, Rick. I can't remember.
Isn't it the thing like it causes them to have like an emotional response, whether it's fear or love or something
that? Yeah. Right?
And then, but Diamondback goes through the ray and punches her. And Asp is like, how? You know, how did Diamondback not get affected by that? Is that a hint, Bob?
I don't know. I'd hate to think it was and give it away.
But then Puff Adder comes and just hits her from behind. And Asp says, my venom blast should have knocked them both unconscious instantly. Why didn't it work on her? Curious. So the two of them wake up and they are shackled to a wall, Bob. And it's your favorite group, the Serpent Society. Right?
Yeah. All
we
of them.
Love them.
Yeah. Well, all
you got
one.
You got Cobra, Fur de Lance, Anaconda, who's got back, Rock Python, Puff Adder, Black Racer, Black Mamba, Bushmaster, Coach Whip, and the Rattler, along with the Asp. And Cobra says that he's disappointed in Diamondback, in the fact that he's got a score to settle with her because, you know, she betrayed them. And he's holding the shield and he says, oh, and Captain, thanks for the gift. To be continued. So this next one, again, has the disassembled, the Avengers shattered logo on the cover, issue 31. And it says, the Serpent Society strikes. And it's another Dave Johnson cover. It's Cap on his knees in shackles, surrounded by actual snakes.
That's a cool cover, Rick. You know, the shadowing on Cap's face and torso. You can't make out his face clearly. It's got a lot of what I'm looking for, like an emotional, you know, a sense of despair there. I love it.
So it's Super Patriot Part 3. And we have King Cobra there holding Cap's shield with the Serpent Society behind him. And he's basically toying with Cap now that he's got him all shackled up. He says he's basically, you know, going to take care of Diamondback. But for Cap, he's selling Cap to the highest bidder. So that'll be interesting. Who do you think would come to bid on Captain America? Probably his the bad guys, right?
Probably a whole slew of them would bid on Cap.
So they're there, and it's an interesting, Scott Eaton did a really cool page here, right? You've got behind all of these panels, a bigger panel. So you see them tied to this pole, chained to the pole, but above is a really intricate design of like snakes and serpents and scales and everything. Very cool. But then you have these five panels of Cap and Diamondback next to each other, hanging from their wrists, right? And their heads are down. And then all of a sudden, Cap puts his head up. Oh, no. The movie I rented. And she looks at him. It's like, you're thinking about that? I can't believe that's what you're thinking about. You've seen that thing 100 times, and trust me, I'm sure I'll get to see it again eventually. That's not it. I'm going to have late fees. And then she sighs.
That is Steve Rogers.
That is. That's fine. However, I would argue, Bob, that is not Steve Rogers, because Steve Rogers would know and respect when someone does something nice for him, such as the manager saying to him, "This one's on the house."
No, but you can't expect to keep it forever.
That's true.
You know, that's rude.
That's true. And then we cut to the next page. 16 hours later, Bob, you ever hang by your wrists for more than like a minute?
Rick, I got to just tell this story just briefly.
That's right.
I rented a copy of, I think it was it Back to the Future 3 when they went to the Old West? Right. And there was a scene in that movie where Doc Brown, at the end of the movie, Doc Brown was talking to Marty, and he was telling Marty about like, I don't know, something about like having a new chance, a new start. Right. And I wanted to play that in a class I was teaching at that time. I was teaching a class I guess I was teaching it to the Marines. And so I rented it from Blockbuster. And I kept it a little too long. I kept it like a week and a half. And when I went back, Blockbuster was out of business.
Oh.
So I didn't know what to do, right? I'm like, I don't really want it. So I just put it in the return slot. And I always wondered, like, I mean, it was empty. The store was empty. Yeah, there wasn't anything in there. But the sign was still there, and they still had the door slot. And I was like, I guess I should return it, you know? So I returned
that
it.
Very honest of you.
But that was like a critical time in American pop culture history when Blockbuster went out of business, and I was there for it, trying to return a videotape. So,
and that. Was it a DVD or a video?
Oh, it was a video. Yeah, it was definitely VHS.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So they're hanging there for 16 hours, Bob. And Cap's got his head down in shade. But Diamondback's alert. Like no big deal. Like 16 hours. Eh. So that might be a clue there too, Bob.
Yeah.
So Cobra comes up with the shield. "I hope you've gotten plenty of rest, Captain. I want you looking your best for all the bidders I've lined up. I'm sure you'll be quite impressed by the turnout." "Cobra, I'll give you one chance to let us go before things get ugly." "Ha! I never knew you had such a humor, but I think I'll just take my chances with you. Take him down from there. Oh, and it's King Cobra, but I'll let it slide just this once. Consider it a going away present." So they got, so it's Anaconda and Puff Adder, like the two heavy hitters, get him down, and they're holding him. Now he's still, they cuff him behind his back, and they're carrying him away. And Cap goes ahead and he kicks the shield out of Cobra's hand. It ricochets off the ceiling, ricochets off a pillar, and then goes directly where it needs to go to break his shackles behind his back and then bounce again. He must have been, I got to tell you, Steve Rogers must have been like amazing in geometry at school.
Right, yeah. And I would not challenge him to pool.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
So as he's then he punches both Puff Adder and Anaconda, and then he goes and takes down Cobra with a leg twist. The shield again comes directly to his hand, and then he goes and he takes out the two of them. Then he goes and he throws his shield to break Rachel out, and then just then all the other serpents show up, and Bob, That's a lot of serpents there, right?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know there were that many kinds of snakes, but yeah, it's a full house.
It totally is. And that's a pretty cool scene, you know, with the two of them fighting amongst the whole crowd. So then Cap turns to help Diamondback, but she's taken out like three of them herself. And he says, "I have to say, Rachel, I'm impressed. That means a lot coming from you, Mr. America. Hey now, respect the rank." "Yeah, Nick, I need your boys to do a pickup." "Sorry, Cap. Nick's away on business. What can we do for you?" "Get a fix on my location. I'm at the Serpent Society's headquarters. They're all out of commission and ready to be carted off." "Yeah, I think all of them, I think. Bring a big truck." And then I think this next page is kind of funny, Bob.
It is a great page.
Yeah, because the next page, we kind of go deeper into the Serpent Society's headquarters. And then there's a stage with a gavel and a chair. And there are these villains standing there. And can you name all the villains?
Oh, my gosh. Who is that? Gargoyle?
Mm-mm.
No?
Dragon Man.
Oh, yeah. Dragon Man. Oh, yes. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We got Zola. We got Baron Strucker. There's Hyde in the back. I think that's Viper, right?
Yep.
Is that the swordsman?
No, I think that's
I don't know Zola. Who that is.
I think it's Zola with the sword.
With his head cut off. It doesn't show it. Yeah. And then we've got Baron Blood and, of course, MODOK. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and then there's kind of like a quiet, and it kind of zooms in on a few of them. And then you see MODOK, who's got a very big head, as we all know. And he says, "All this waiting is giving me a headache."
Clever.
That's kind of funny, right?
Yeah.
I got a question.
Yeah.
What's Mr. Hyde doing there?
I guess he broke out again, huh?
That was quick.
Yeah.
I think that was a mistake.
Yeah.
I think that they shouldn't have put Mr. Hyde there. I think somehow they messed that up. And like Dragon Man, come on. Dragon Man's not going to show up and bid on Captain America.
Right.
Right? He's just kind of like a mindless kind of creation, right? I mean.
Yeah. And I'm just like, why would they cut off Zola's head and not show his head? Is there a reason for that?
I don't know.
Huh.
So then we cut to Nolan, who is getting caught by Nick Fury. And Nick Fury's there with Dum Dum Dugan and Sharon Carter with the big blonde hair, a la Ron Garney.
Indeed, yeah.
And so Nolan's been captured. So then we cut to another page, which makes no sense to me, Bob. I have no idea why this page is here.
Right, I know, right?
It's Spider-Man. And he goes to Captain America's apartment looking for him. Nobody's home. I'll just swing by the Avengers mansion. I hope Iron Man is home. And that's that. Yeah. I guess that has to, I'm sure that ties in with the Spider-Man story, that Spider-Man's, you know, disassembled and he goes off to look for people. So some must somehow tie in. Like, oh, all of a sudden, now you got to go buy the Spider-Man book to understand what's going on.
Aha, not doing it. Nice try, Marvel.
Yeah. So then we got Captain America and Diamondback walking back. They're on the street. And Rachel's really thanking Cap for helping her out. You know, she's like, "You had nothing to do with it. I'm sorry I dragged into all that. I'm glad I was there for to help, Rachel. I've got a vested interest in your well-being. I don't want to see you get hurt." And then they stop and kiss, Bob. "You're sweet. You know that?" "No. Tell me more, please. I can listen to you compliment me all day." "Oh, you," and she pushes him away. "What? I could use some cheering up." "Oh, the Avengers thing? You okay, Steve?" And here's the tie-in, Bob. Ready for it?
Yep.
"I'm dealing with it. I can't help but think we'll bounce back somehow. I'd say we've been through worse before, but we haven't. We've never dealt with anything like this, ever. These wounds cut deep. That business with the Serpent Society helped take my mind off of it. Those clowns are good for something, I guess." "Yeah, I guess. Well, here's your place. What's left of it." You want to stay over at my place tonight? You could come over for dinner and we could go from there. Well, I sure can't stay here. Thanks, Rachel. I'm going to make some calls, see if I can set up some repairs, and then I'll be right over. Shouldn't be more than a couple of hours. Perfect. I'll go hide all my unmentionables and clean up my place up. I'll see you tonight. You better hurry. You've only got a couple of hours. That was a joke by Steve.
Right. I know, huh? Or is it? Does he really know how many unmentionables she has?
Well, he's too nice of a gentleman to mention it.
Yeah.
And then the landlord lady, old lady comes out and yells at him about the destruction. And he says he'll pay for it. And then he makes a call to get somebody out there to help, you know, clean up. She tells him that a fellow by the name of Paladin came by looking earlier. He said he needed your help. He left his card. So then he says, thanks. So Rachel, then we cut to her apartment. She's got a bag full of groceries. It's dark. She plays the answering machine, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And Steve leaves a message. Hey, Rachel, this is Steve. I just want to let you know I might be a little late. I've got to help Paladin with some minor stuff before I can head over to your place. At worst, I should be a half hour late. See you soon. And then who's there? The Red Skull. And he says, what are the groceries for? Oh, you startled me. I'm cooking dinner for Steve tonight. You shouldn't be here. He'll be arriving any minute now. Dinner? We used all the poison for your botched assassination attempt last night. Meddlesome Serpent Society. You're going to have to kill him the old-fashioned way now. And she basically says no. Apparently she's developed feelings for him, which is odd, right, Bob? Because she's always had feelings for him.
Right, yeah.
So I don't understand, you know, maybe absence grows, you know, heart grows cold. Yeah. I don't know.
She hasn't seen him in like two volumes.
But she says that. and she says, you know, I'm not going to kill him. So Red Skull grabs her by the neck and says, then you have no use to me. And he snaps her neck, Bob.
What?
I know. Diamondback's dead. Sorry, listeners.
Wow. Man, there's going to be a lot of tears out there when people listen to this.
I had hoped I wouldn't have to resort to a physical contest, but you have left me no choice. I am very disappointed. And then there's a knock at the door. And who's on the other side? It's Steve in his civvies holding a dozen roses. And he's like, hello, are you in there? To be continued. All right, Bob. So here we are for the last issue of this story and the last issue of volume 4. And it has a cover date of December 2004. Looks like the same creative team, but this cover has the Red Skull on there, and he's standing over a defeated Captain America who's got his uniform all torn up, and he's holding him by the mask, and he's got a dagger to his face. And there's fire and destruction in the background. There's even a little fire on top of the Red Skull's armor. And he looks like he's got Captain America in a bad situation.
He certainly does.
So we pick up where we left off. And there is Steve knocking on the door, asking, you know, if Rachel's home. And we've got Red Skull holding by the neck Diamondback, who is dead. Her eyes are open and her neck is bent back. And next thing you know, the Red Skull's bursting through the door, breaking the frame. Bricks are flying, wood's flying, and he's hitting unsuspecting Steve in the gut, and roses go everywhere. But we see underneath his jacket, a piece of his shield. So he is prepared. And he's on the ground as the Red Skulls are on top of him. And he looks up angry at the Red Skull and he says, "You. It's always you. Me? You were always getting in my way, always thwarting my every plan. Hence my current initiative to end your life. What's your game, Skull? Why Diamondback? What are you doing here? Had everything gone according to plan, you wouldn't even be aware of my involvement. Diamondback would have succeeded in killing you if..." And they're fighting each other as they're talking. "No, she would never. No, not now, she wouldn't." And Cap looks a little concerned. "No." And he runs into the apartment and he finds her there, dead. "No. Oh, no, Diamond. Rachel, I'm so sorry. You didn't deserve this. Nobody deserves this." And he takes off his tattered civilian clothes to get to his uniform. "Shocked? You shouldn't be. It was bound to happen someday. Cynthia Glass, Bernie Rosenthal, Sharon Carter. Your women always have made such lovely victims. This one wasn't even the first to die." And he throws his shield. "Murderer!" But the Red Skull just grabs it. He just grabs it midair. "Notice the suit. It doesn't matter. You'll be well aware of its power momentarily. I'm going to kill you, Captain America." And he tosses the shield. "What makes you think you'll succeed this time?" And then he couldn't finish the sentence because Red Skull knocked him down pretty hard. Then he picks him up and he says, "Color to hunch," and throws him through a wall and then just keeps pounding him and just panels and panels of him getting crushed. And he says, "This just hasn't been your week, has it? First, that business with the Avengers. Then you're running with those Serpent Society clowns. The death of your beloved little Diamondback. And now, finally, after all these years, your death at my hands." And he throws him again through a wall. And he's just beating him down, Bob. Mm-hmm. "I couldn't have picked a better time to strike. Futile as that was, it's still good to see that you have some fight left in you. After all you've been through, it's impressive. Now, if you'll excuse me." And he kicks him through a wall. A bathroom wall, because you see the sink flying and there's pipes. A lot of detail here. "I need some fresh air. There, much better. Had enough? No? Okay, fine. Let's try that again." And he keeps pummeling him, Bob. Pummel, pummel, pummel. And then, just then, at the bottom of the building, the whole building collapses on top of them. I guess they've taken out the support systems, but it rumbles down. And it looks to be 8 stories maybe. And then the Red Skull with his armor just pops up, and we see an arm, an outstretched arm underneath rubble of Steve. And then he just picks him up from the rubble and holds him. And he goes, "Now, where were we? Ah, yes, the killing blow." But Cap kicks him. And he says, "Hold that thought." And he does a somersault, lands to where his shield is, puts it up just in time when the Red Skull hits him. "I'll beat you, Skull. I will find a way. I always do. Somehow, Captain, I just don't think it's that simple." And then behind them, Bob, who is it?
What the? It's Rachel.
It is. It's Diamondback, but she looks different.
She sure does.
And her head still, neck still snapped because her head's just kind of hanging. she also has armor underneath coming out from underneath her clothes and her skin.
And yeah, she looks slightly metallic.
She looks slightly robotic.
Yeah.
And she says, get off him. And then Steve looks up, Diamondback. I said, get off him. What are you? I know, Steve. I'm confused too. She picks up Steve. I was nearly crushed when the building collapsed, but I was able to rebuild myself. The Red Skull broke my neck, but now I'm fine. I don't know how I could do these things, but I'm not complaining. This can't be. I killed you. Apparently, you didn't, but that doesn't mean I won't make you pay all the same. And she starts pummeling the Red Skull. And then she puts her hand around him, and mechanically, it grows around his neck and starts to get into his armor. The limited AI inside your armor and I have gotten to know each other. You're finished. And she pulls it apart. I'm going to make you pay for the evil you've done. I'll make sure you never hurt anyone ever again. You're a monster. Not yet, but I'm working on it. And she's choking him. Diamond, no, you're killing him. Unit 4, stop. And that was the voice of Nelson, Mellon, Wellen, Naaman, Wayman.
What's Nolan? His name?
Huh?
Nolan?
Nolan. Nolan. And we have Nick Fury holding Nolan, who is in orange jumper, you know, kind of jail cell fatigues. And he's got huge handcuffs around him.
Like, crazy handcuffs.
I mean, those would be made for like Thor or somebody, right?
Right, yeah.
Nick Fury's got his hand on him. Things aren't exactly working out your way, are they, Skull? And the diamond and the robot Diamondback says, I can't move. And Steve looks at Nick and says, Nick?
Captain, you look confused and like you've been hit by a truck. Let me see what I can do about that first item. You're in for quite a story. Meet Mark Nolan. Well, actually, you've already met Mark Nolan. You see, I never sent you on that mission to rescue Senator Wilson from Hydra. That was him. Holographics. They're quite advanced these days. Mark's been scooting around the skies of our great nation in one of our subcarriers, ignoring my orders, all the while plotting the demise of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's been pretty busy. The Senator Winslow thing was all just a ploy to get the Weasel some FaceTime with you to use in his upcoming election, which Nolan was well paid for, and to get you and Diamondback here up close and personal in no time flat. He likes to multitask. He also sold our boy, the Red Skull here, this nifty S.H.I.E.L.D. exo-armor and a brainwashed Diamondback, who it turns out isn't really Diamondback at all. Do you need anything repeated yet? If that's not Diamondback, what is it? That's very classified information. But you've been through a lot, so you've earned it. I can't move. What can I move? This beauty you see before you is a new, improved, and advanced life model decoy. Of course, these LMDs aren't approved for use just yet. What's he talking about, Steve? They work too well. You see, for all intents and purposes, that is Diamondback. Her brain scan was downloaded into the machine in such a way that it's a flawless reproduction. The problem is, they don't even know they're not the real thing. When you try to tell them what they really are, they get a little dangerous. It seems Mr. Nolan had all his bases covered. He was going to double-cross the Red Skull first chance he got. Him taking you out was just an added bonus for Mark. So the Skull was just a pawn? I like that. Thought you would. Red Skull thought Mark had merely introduced him to a Diamondback who had gone back to her old ways.
but Mark had this LMD program to respond only to his voice commands. And as you can see, she's quite deadly. And the real Diamondback? She's been on the helicarrier the whole time, recovering from a brain scramble at the hands of the V Battalion. Look behind you. And there's the real Diamondback, Bob.
There she is, looking good.
Rachel, is that you? This time, yeah. I don't get it. If that thing is essentially Diamondback, why was it working with the Red Skull to kill me? That was all programmed in by Nolan. You can input commands that contradict the original person's behavior, and they will all meld with their personality without them realizing the conflicting thoughts. These things are going to be quite useful when we work out all the bugs. Steve, what's going on? What are they doing to me? You've got to stop them. Don't let them take me. Uh-oh. Come on, Cap. Let's get you patched up. So they're taking away the Red Skull. And Diamondback, the real one, sitting next to Steve in the back of the ambulance as he's getting patched up. And who comes up to see Steve?
Sharon.
Sharon. Cap. And the doctor there basically patches him up. And Diamondback says, care for an escort? Sure. We've got a lot of catching up to do. And my place is shot, so how does your place sound? My place is missing a wall or two at the moment. Maybe we should just get a room. My, Captain, how forward of you. The end.
So, Cap had relations with a robot. Nobody's going to mention that, huh?
Okay. Well, you know, those life model decoys got a lot of life in them, Bob.
They do. Yeah. Yeah. They are new and improved in every way.
I like how your thought went to the same thing that my first thought went to.
Yeah. Clearly, Steve doesn't get out very much because clearly he couldn't tell the difference between a life model decoy and
maybe the real. The real story here is, Bob, is we need to be looking for life model decoys.
Right. Yeah. It's a great technology.
Mm-hmm. So let's get some thoughts. What do you think of the story?
I love the story, Rick. I think it was a lot of fun. You know, a lot of, like you said, a lot of great characters, a lot of cameos, it moved very, very quickly. It showed a personal side of Steve. It had a lot of action. I mean, it had everything you could want in a Cap story.
Eh. I don't know, Bob.
Really? You didn't like it?
No. I love Robert Kirkman. I respect him. I think what he's done with The Walking Dead and Invincible is great stuff. I read a lot of other things that he's done and I've enjoyed. But you know how sometimes we talk about different writers or like, this writer get Steve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Robert Kirkman does not get Steve.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He just doesn't make these offhanded, snarky comments. I mean, granted, look, I understand he's going through a tough time with the Avengers business. He's had his several colleagues die in the pages of the Avengers. He's going through a rough time. Maybe that's an excuse. Maybe that's why he's a little off character and he's saying some of these things and doing some rash actions. Like, I mean, I haven't read this story since the first time I read this story in 2004,
right. Yeah.
But I still remembered that it ends with Cap saying to Diamondback, hey, uh-huh. How about we get a room?
Yeah. That's a classic panel, right?
But it's not Steve. It's not Steve. He wouldn't say that. Let's get a room. Come on.
You know, it's funny because, I go in for the sort of, I loved, the first story arc of this volume, and I loved Ice and, Extremis. I thought those were great, great stories. And they were very, some of them were quite controversial, right? Particularly Ice. Well, all three of those were. And I really get into that sort of Cap story. I like those. I prefer those. And not so much sort of the action, adventure, sort of puff cotton candy cap story. But I enjoyed this one for that reason. It was just kind of a lighthearted throw everybody in a story, you know, as many people as you can. And it's just a good bit of entertainment.
Yeah, I will give it that. That's for sure. I mean, it was like, I think Marvel just basically said to Robert Kirkman, hey, do what you want. You know what I mean? Like this,
yeah.
You have four issues. We're canceling the series. We're going to start a new one shortly thereafter. Everything's kind of tying in with the Avengers disassembled. All these different things are coming to a close at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You get carte blanche. Like, you know, do a cap story, whatever you want to do, because it's not going to count. It's not going to matter.
Yeah, right.
So what writer wouldn't be like, well, I want Red Skull. I want Batroc. I want Serpent Society. I want Mr. Hyde. I want to have cameos of
Got to have Nick Fury. Yeah. Got to put a helicarrier in the sky.
Oh, we got to bring back Diamondback. And we got to get a booty call in. You know,
got to have Sharon. Let's get some Sharon in there. You know? Yep. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I hate to admit it, but you make some good points there.
Okay, so let's get to favorite panel, t-shirt worthy, and time capsule.
All right.
So I think I get to go first, Bob.
All right. That sounds fair.
So I'm going to go with the first issue in this story for my favorite panel, issue 29. And it's on page 17. It's the fourth panel. It is the one where the very first time we see Captain America have the shield ricochet and go directly slide onto his hand, into his wrist. And he just, he puts it up in the air and it's like, boom. Like, when I saw that, I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like we've seen him catch it, his shield, you know, and like whatever, but this one just slides onto his wrist. I don't know. I thought that was really cool.
That's a good panel. Yeah. All right. Well, for my panel, I'm going to go with that same issue, but I think it's page 5, right? It's right after he's dealt with Mr. Hyde and he's taking off, and there's a number of panels that show him doing some, climbs up on a fire escape, and he does a tumble up in the sky, and then he does a handstand on the edge of a building, and you only see him in silhouette, right? I mean, he's because the sun is behind him.
Yeah, it's a cool panel.
I love that panel. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful panel. Not something that you see very often.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's got his arms and legs out like an X.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even the two kids are like, wow. Yeah, that's a good one. All right. How about t-shirt worthy, Bob? What do you got for t-shirt worthy?
All right. Well, definitely the cover of 29 is my t-shirt. Now, I got to tell you, I don't normally go in for the cluttered look on t-shirts. I like a single character. You know, I don't want a cover. I normally wouldn't want a cover, but I love this cover. It's one of my all-time favorites. I love all the Hydra agents. I love the one that's closest to us, you know, looking back. Here's the great thing, and I got to be honest with you, Rick, I've never really noticed this. I never paid that close attention, but Cap is socking that one Hydra agent in the jaw,
and like teeth coming out.
Yeah, you see that one? You see those three stars, and in one of those stars, there's a tooth in that star. It's just a great cover.
Yeah,
so I definitely want to see that on a t-shirt.
You know what? That's perfect. You stole mine. Okay. Well, then I'm going to have to go with, I'm going to pivot here. I'm going to go for something here that is going to be you're not going to like it because it's going to be too busy for you.
Ooh, okay.
It's going to be issue 31 and it is page 8, the fifth panel. So that is when their Cap and Diamondback are battling all the Serpent Society at the same time. It's
right.
A big panel, and Cap's full center, and he's, you know, kicking one, punching another, putting a shield up for another one. Diamondback's battling a few. That's pretty cool. You know, like if you want to see Cap versus the Serpent Society on a t-shirt, that's a cool panel.
Yeah. All right. That's a good one. What about your time capsule choice?
Well, I had one in mind, but then, I mean, the video store is certainly a good one, but the video store could be, I mean, that could be like a 15-year period. I don't know if it's exactly 2004, right? I mean, it could be a 15, 20-year period. So I'm not sure about that one. There was something else, and I pointed it out to you while we were reading it. What was that?
Was it the phone?
The answering machine.
Right? Oh, the answering machine, right.
Yeah, but the answering machine could also be like a 20, 30-year period, right?
Yeah.
So instead, I'm going for issue 30, page 12. That is the one where Cap and Diamondback are outside of Yankee Stadium.
Right.
Where everybody's, you know, Batroc's being hauled away and the big crowd there. And this is the old Yankee Stadium. They changed this stadium in 2008. So this is 2004. And I know what you're saying. Well, again, that could be a very long time period. But if you look up at the banner, it says 25 world championships. So that, to me, I think pinpoints a certain time period of when this took place.
I like it.
The Yankees had 25 world championships. So there you go. That's my time capsule.
It's going, I like that.
Going in the capsule.
All right. Well, I'm going with the video store, Rick. Because I've got such great memories of that time. Going down to the video store, right? Going and getting my VHS tape, getting eventually my DVD. I've been forming relationships with the old couple, the old Korean couple behind the counter. This is outside of Washington, D.C. in Alexandria when I lived there. And so it definitely brings back a lot of memories from that time for me. And so I'm going with that. You know, it's funny, actually, because that was the year that I was in D.C. training to go on my assignment to Vietnam. And so I left the next year. It's also the year I got married, 2004. And by the time I got back, everything had changed, man. You know, we bought our first DVD player, and we used to go to the go get the black market DVDs in downtown Hanoi. And
what?
Yeah, when I came back, all the video stores were closed.
You would get black market stuff. I mean, come on.
I would. Bob,
what would Cap do?
You know who else would? The FBI agency used to come into town. They would always,
That's cool. I like that. It's a fun story. All right, Bob. As promised, I talked about next episode. This is going to be a special episode, Bob. And I promised I would tell the listeners what we're going to cover, but also, Bob, I got a little surprise for you too.
You don't say.
I do. So next episode, we are covering in episode 98, we're covering Captain America 443. Came out in 1995. You may ask, 443, just one issue? What's special about that issue? Mm-hmm. It is the very last issue of Mark Gruenwald's incredible run on his 10-year run as writer of Captain America. It's a sentimental issue, really. It's a great story of Cap on death's door, and it kind of tugs at the heartstrings a little bit. And we thought it was an important issue to cover all by itself. And I thought, Bob, who better to have on the show would join us, but the author of the Mark Gruenwald and the Star Spangled Symbolism of Captain America, the author Jason Olson, is going to join us on the show.
All right. That's great. It would be great to have Jason again.
Yeah. And Jason and I, and we're going to do this panel by panel. So Jason's going to be there with us. And he's going to, you know, give his thoughts as we're going through. And then we can have a cool conversation afterwards about this being such an impactful end to an illustrious career of Mark Gruenwald's Captain America stories.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. That's a great surprise. I can't wait to talk to Jason again.
Yeah. And I might have another surprise for you too, Bob, but you'll just have to wait until we record that episode.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. So make sure you come back for next week. All right, Bob, as always, it has been a blast wrapping Cap with you.
It has. Same time next week, Rick.
All right. He's Bob Lucius. I'm Rick Verbanis, and you have been listening to another episode of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast.